right, we are back. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out, and very excited about my next guest. I love when previous guests circle back and they say, I have another book out, or I'm working on this film, or do you remember me? And I cannot believe I remember pretty much everybody since 2011. But this next guest, I remember this book. This is Val Walker's book previously, 400 Friends and No One to Call. That really resonated with me. But she's released a new book called Healing Through Wonder, and it came out January 8th. And I just found out she's calling in from Boston, and she's going to share her journey of healing from trauma and loss. And she's got a lot of exciting things to share with us, and she's joining us right now. Hi, Val.
Hello.
We had this whole conversation before we went on the air, so hi again.
It's good to be here.
And so you're calling in from Brookline.
Actually, I'm in West Roxbury, but okay. Not too far from Brookline.
Okay. And I kind of, before you even said Boston, I heard, I'm wicked excited, I'm like, oh.
That was for emphasis, my dear.
I got it. I love it. So, Val, you came out with this book, Healing Through Wonder, How Awe Restores Us After Trauma and Loss. And boy, you're speaking my language. Tell me why this book was so important for you to write.
Well, on both personal and also just collectively, I felt like we didn't appreciate our sense of wonder enough. Mm-hmm. And I realized as I looked over all the ways I helped myself heal after terrible experiences with domestic violence and also from grief, I have found through the decades of my life that I relied on my sense of wonder, and that kept my perspective open and my hope open and alive.
That's
and
great.
It gave me resilience. And then I found out a lot of other people that I profiled in the book had beautiful stories to tell about how awe and wonder kept them going at the worst of times.
Yes.
So, you know, basically the inspiration is that I realized I wanted a big shout out for our beautiful sense of wonder and our ability to feel awe and how much it can do for us.
You know, I love that you say this, because I remember in the pandemic I was feeling really down, and I always go for walks, and I was taking this online class with Dr. Lori Santos of Yale, The Science of Happiness, I believe it's called.
And, oh, yeah, well known.
Yeah, and she's part of the Happiness Lab podcast. And so I took this class, and I ended up meeting a really close friend. Where was she from? She's just from another country. And I want to say Latvia. But so anyway, through this class, I remember just putting my phone down more when I was walking and looking up and breathing and just focusing on everything around me. And I just started to peel back the layers.
Right.
Yeah.
Wonder has a way of doing that to us naturally.
Mm-hmm. So take us through the process of writing this book. Did this take a long time to write, or, you know, tell me about that.
There's a really interesting story. There are two whole layers to this book. The first third of the book is sort of a memoir of mm-hmm. mine, which I wrote most of way back right after my divorce, when I was really hurting mm-hmm. from a lot of loneliness, a lot of grief, and I had experienced all these beautiful times and healing moments through my love of great blue herons. And I realized these birds, in all the watery places that these birds took me to, rivers, ocean bays, I write from the state of Maine as well as my earlier life in Virginia, it was the herons that kept bringing me to these really peaceful and wondrous places. And I realized that my voice of who I was that I had suppressed under the abuse and under the trauma and under the grief, mm-hmm. that when I hung out with these birds and in these beautiful, wondrous places, it's like I came alive. Val was there, the real Val.
Nice.
And so that first book, which was called The Providence of Herons, mm-hmm. was written back in back in 25 years ago. And to make a long story short, what I was able to do with this book was update it, bring it up to the current times post-pandemic, and weave in those stories, recovering from abuse and a lot of loss, and weave in those stories with my current life experiences of feeling disconnected, feeling like I was losing my faith in humanity, you know, with all the things going on in my life and the world. So, long story made short, there are like three streams of this book. There's my memoir, first third of the book.
Okay.
And then I brought in four other people's profiles who had incredible stories and very different stories about awe and wonder in their healing. And then, in the third part of the book, I was able to pull it all together with some neuroscience.
That's great.
And make that neuroscience help us explain and validate mm-hmm. these experiences that seem to happen so naturally. But my God, when I got into the neuroscience, mm-hmm. Janine, it was like a whole new awe and wonder experience for me.
I love
that.
Here
was science showing just how powerful an emotion like awe or wonder is.
Yes, yes. And I find that when you talk about neuroscience, even just breathing, like redirecting your breath and being mindful, right? And just
right.
focusing on tuning out and quieting the noise in your head.
Yeah. But something that might come unexpectedly. Let's say a beautiful red cardinal lands near you or lands near me by our window,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly we just stop, you know?
Yes.
We're suddenly outside of our thoughts. And I write a lot about the default mode network of our brain that the neuroscience talks about, and the beauty of awe and wonder, like a moment, just even a minute, with a cardinal or a bird that stops us in our tracks.
Yes.
When we have a moment like that, it shifts us out of our ruminating, our worrying, our self-interested, like, oh my God, what's going to happen, and all the predictive coding.
Yes.
That's what the psychologists call it. So a moment with a little cardinal, we don't have to work hard for it. It just happens.
The unexpected.
What a relief.
Yes. We do have to embrace the unexpected, because that's where life gets interesting. I tell people in the work I do, especially young people, like, embrace a non-linear life, right? That you
yes.
you make your own path. It's very easy to say, obviously, because people are told when they're younger, you know, you need to do this, then you do that, and then this. And that's the way you do things as an adult. Well, things can be different, and you can, you know, create your own life. You know, I say you're the best project you'll ever work on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's true. And awe and wonder kind of have a way of getting us out of that box, getting mm-hmm. us out of, I love the term that psychologists use, predictive coding.
Mm.
And when our brain's in default mode network,
yes,
we're trying to predict and anticipate what's going to happen next. And what are we going to do if, and we get caught up in all that, and that also projects a lot of stuff and expectations onto things.
Yes.
So again, when that cardinal or that bluebird or whatever it is that snaps you out of that train of thought, like what you're saying, it teaches us how to be open.
Mm-hmm.
It really teaches us open-mindedness.
And awe doesn't erase pain, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That is so important, because a lot of people think, oh, it's just a happy little escape. Like, let's find an awe moment to take your mind off of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens? It's not just about taking our mind off of and escaping a real painful feeling of grief, you know, or a feeling of a traumatic memory. This is such a good thing we're talking about here, Janine, because this is why I really wanted to drive home in my book that awe helps us live with all of our emotions.
Mm,
it
yes.
gives us a lot of room, a lot of space to say, I can feel the grief and enjoy that bird visiting me all in the same minute.
Yes.
That our brains and our human capacity, we can have all these emotions and still have a real beautiful moment. It's rich and it's deep. And if we allow awe into our lives, we become so much more agile with all of our emotions, and we learn to live with grief, loss, and trauma, rather than it's just an escape from it.
Yes. So I just want to take a quick diversion for a second. So I've been following the monks walking across the United States.
And, oh, yeah.
Okay. So it's so interesting to me, it's very apparent to me, that people who come out and they're just weeping, they're asking for their children to be blessed, they're just falling to their knees, they're giving flowers, that we need something different from what's going on, that I feel like they have come at the perfect time. I wish they had even come sooner. People are craving peace, kindness, connection, slow it down, focus on what really matters, don't you think?
Yeah, they are teaching us, you know, nothing like through, I hate to just use the term role model, mm-hmm. but they're showing us, they're doing it.
Yes.
They are doing it, and not only are they doing it, they're bringing us in and welcoming us into those moments.
Right.
They do it live, they do it in person, they do it naturally, they're showing us how we can do it.
Yes. And they're walking often without shoes, you know, and
right.
It's cold, and they're sleeping outside, and they have injuries, and it's just, I feel like that's an important moment to take in, to not ignore what's going on with them.
And they can do that amid all the other troubles in the world, mm-hmm. and still do that and bring people to focus on that, despite doom scrolling on all the horrible things in the world. People are getting off their screens and coming out to be with those monks mm-hmm. and just have a, you know, the vibe, the feels of being with people like that. And the same with great artists who are singing, who do concerts live, mm-hmm. where we can all come together and feel that vibe. They call it in neuroscience collective effervescence, when we get together with others and we have awe moments together. And I have to give a shout out to Dr. Keltner, who wrote a beautiful book about awe, and he talks a lot about this collective effervescence, which is a great term for the awe we feel when we sort of hang out with the monks, or we hang out at a Coldplay concert and enjoy the sky full of stars.
Mm-hmm.
He says, put those phones away. And indeed, we do. And then we have this moment, most of us do.
Yes.
And these kinds of moments, artists and leaders, thought leaders, and, you know, there are people out there who help bring that out in us, thank goodness.
Yeah. I feel like it's a moment to prioritize what really matters. And with awe, no matter what that experience is, with awe, it redirects your mind. It helps focus you. It gives you a pause, helps you breathe. And it's just, you know, I had the experience of, we got a dog 7 years ago and didn't want a dog, and it was battling, I don't want a dog. And now, just holding on to that, to our dog, our precious dog, and looking at how, you know, silly she is, whatever, it is that pause for me.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness for our companions of different animals, and all the ways that through nature and our animal companions definitely bring us into the present moment. Thank God for that.
Yes.
And funny enough, I hear a lot of people say that a cat or a dog encounter or a bird encounter opens you up not only to that moment with that particular animal, but it opens you up to like a whole day of being wondrous, you know, and saying, hey, I want to find something else kind of, you know, different and inspiring. You know, animals can bring that wondering, wonder-prone quality in us. Thank God they bring that out.
Yes, I agree. So I want to also talk about, you know, here in the present moment, there's a loneliness epidemic. People feel socially isolated. They're anxious being back in person, you know, post-pandemic. People feel disconnected. So how do you feel awe can shift that?
You know, a big rounding part of my book, at the end of my book, I really drive home that awe is a way to connection and community. That when we share stories of little wondrous moments, mm-hmm. you know, with others, it helps connect everybody in such a powerful way.
Yes.
And I also want to say that shared experiences of awe, sharing your awe, takes you to a whole different level of feeling the sense of oneness with everything. It's an amazing thing. So back to loneliness, you know, it was interesting how my book about awe and wonder came as an extension of my second book about loneliness called 400 Friends and No One to Call.
Mm-hmm.
And I started seeing that a lot of the people I was profiling who were really lonely and isolated in their grief or in their trauma, in their addiction, right? These people that I was profiling, the common denominator was that awe moment not only connected them a sense of oneness with that encounter they had, but it opened them up to being a little more open and inviting with other people.
Yes.
Like, I know that if I can have this moment with this bird or with this dog or with this concert mm-hmm. or with this song or with this amazing event that I've gone to, that I can share it.
Yes, yeah.
And once that person, you know, the beauty of an awe moment, as you know, is it opens us up. The neuroscience shows that it gets us past our predictive coding, gets us past our projections and our expectations and our judgments. Awe opens us up. It makes us more open-minded and more likely to want to share with people.
Definitely.
And try something new.
Yes.
You know? So it's a powerful, I'm very excited. I really am, and I'm going to go ahead and stick my neck out and say that this book particularly ends with the importance of awe in being able to reconnect and break out of our isolation. We really need awe to get out of isolation.
Definitely, yes. And I like what you just said, because let's say you're seeing the Northern Lights, right? And you're all
yeah.
alone, and you look to the person next to you and they're smiling, and you could just say,
yeah.
Oh, wasn't that amazing? And
it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
It connects us so deeply.
Mm-hmm. So we have to wrap up soon. Anything else you'd like to share with listeners?
Well, I just feel, Janine, I really want to share that I appreciate your work with studying what makes us the best humans we can be.
Thank you.
And I like how we can talk about these things without making this about something that we can't really make happen in the real world, that
mm-hmm.
these are very actionable things.
Yes.
And that awe and wonder with just a minute or two a day of just having a little bit of something that takes your breath away, it is something that'll keep you going. It just does. And it's actually kept me going, Janine.
That's beautiful.
I've been even suicidal earlier in my life
mm-hmm.
and an experience with a great blue heron when I was about to end my life. I'm just saying
mm-hmm.
that encounter turned my life around, and I just want to put it out there. Don't underestimate that quality of wonder and awe, because it might just turn your life around.
That's beautiful. Especially I was going to ask you for people that are going through a funk right now, because the show is called Get the Funk Out. So just being open to awe, to the possibilities, to the things around you. Yesterday I was speaking to someone who's going to call into my show, and we're chatting, and all of a sudden she says, hold on a minute, there's an owl. I have to talk to the owl.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
What's the owl saying? You know, it was so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and you see, everybody listening probably just took their breath away for just a second or two.
I know.
Just enough. See, that does good stuff to our brain.
Yeah. Well, it
it's
yeah.
medicine for us to be like, what?
Yeah.
What are you? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What happened?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. So that's sort of, whoa, when we say that. It opens our brain up for, you know, it's good for us.
I agree. So where can people find out more about you, Val, and your book?
Yeah, well, I developed a whole website around the book called healingthroughwonder.com.
Okay.
And also, I would say that our YouTube channel, I have people that I profiled in the book that were brave and wonderful at sharing their stories on my YouTube channel called mm-hmm. Healing Through Wonder. So, yeah, there's a YouTube way to enjoy. We have a whole collection of videos of storytelling from people who've had these wondrous moments, who healed, who were healing, and happy to share that.
That's fantastic. One last thing. Do you ever go to J.P. Licks in Brookline?
You know, I've never been in person, but everybody talks about it.
Oh, Val, you have to go.
All right.
You have to go.
I go to Brookline all the time to teach at the Council on Aging.
Fantastic. No, that's a great place because I lived on Beacon Street for years, and I love J.P. Licks. I love T. Anthony's Pizza. I don't eat these things anymore, but yeah, it was great. It was really fun there. So anyway, I want to thank you so much for calling in. I've really enjoyed this, and if you've been listening to Val or caught it halfway, it'll be up as a podcast within an hour. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Janine.
It's been wonderful. Let's stay in touch. That was Val Walker calling in. She has been on there previously talking about 400 Friends and No One to Call. And this new book is out now called Healing Through Wonder. Up next, top of the hour, SoCal New Waver with Past Forward. Stick around for that. It's an amazing show. And I'll be back next week. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. And you are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Have a fantastic week.